Well, good morning. That was really, really fun and well done. Claire and Megan still in the room at all? And Leona, and who else? And Karen, big help, a huge amount of effort on that. So please thank them personally for all of that. I know it seems like that's a fairly simple process, but it is not when you're herding cats like little children. And so that was really well done. I really enjoyed that and appreciate their work. Thankful for that kind of initiative that people take. All right. Well, we're going to hopefully spend a little time this morning thinking about what it means to walk in the Christmas story in a little more robust way. Okay? So when we think, and we've talked about this before, the idea of Advent season, and I grew up in a tradition where there was this very regular pattern, and there were certain readings, and there were certain practices that you were always walking in. And it was kind of this reminder of the story of the significant moments in Jesus' life and ministry. And obviously his birth is a huge one. God coming to earth is a really, really important moment in the story. And then in the rest of church calendar emphasizes the Passion Week, his death and burial and resurrection. And you can kind of get the idea that that's the story. That's the point, is to remember these two data points of Jesus' life. And that's, I'm not saying it's intended that way. It's just, okay, what's important is to stir ourselves up again to receive the gift of Jesus becoming human. Well, no, that already happened. And then to receive again forgiveness of sins. No, that's something I possess. That's something I walk in. That's something I possess daily. I don't have to stir myself up. And so we can be in this place. And I don't mean to be hard on it. I think we can sometimes miss the glory of the bigger story when we think about the significant events rather than where is it all going? What's God trying to accomplish? That those events were really significant and important and powerful and miraculous and awe-inspiring and amazing. It's so amazing you would never believe it. But they're not the point. That's not the point. The point is not that you avoid hell. The point is that things have been restored. There's this journey going on. And so when we think about the kingdom of God and the Advent seasons, and I don't know if I have these in the right order, peace, hope, joy, and love. The Advent season is each Sunday is to represent one of those, and then you have the candles and peace, hope, joy, and love. But really, when I think about what the angel said, and we just kind of got a glimpse of that, what they announced was peace and joy. Obviously, there is love and hope involved in that. But what was promised was peace and joy. What was promised was peace and joy. And those things did not come when the angels announced it at the birth of Jesus. Those things did not come to the whole world, which is what the angel said. What it did was it began something. It began the process where peace and joy come to the whole world. But it's not the event, it's not the birth of a baby that brings peace and joy. It is the rest of the story that he's trying to establish that we're called to walk in. Okay? So, and the angel of the Lord, that's not alluded to, and the angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and obviously this is an amazing picture. I can't imagine what the shepherds would have been thinking. Fear not. Yep, forget that. They're afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people, not just for you, not just for right now, not just for this place, but for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, living in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel and a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he has pleased. And so this birthright, this how we collaborate with God, is to somehow learn to walk in peace and joy. To somehow step into this story where he is bringing an ever-increasing amount of peace and joy to all the peoples. Not just the nation of Israel, not just those shepherds, but to the whole world, through all of history. And that involves the coming of a king. Not just the birth of a Savior, We have, at least in the West, I don't know if this is true in all traditions, but we have this idea of those, you think of those four big ideas of Advent: peace, hope, joy, love. We have a personal peace. We have personal joy. We have personal hope. We receive personal love from God, and we're on this quest to make it ours, to possess it. But that's not the promise of Christmas. That's not the goal of the Passion of Christ, the Messiah. It is the peace of the world. It is a whole kingdom filled with shared peace, shared joy, shared love, shared hope. It's a bigger story than you. And that's what I'd love for us to just consider today. Not have these personal moments to think, Lord, help me step into your story. Let me step into your kingdom work. Now, this Christmas, this season, this year, maybe above any that any of us in this room have experienced, I don't know whatever all your stories have been, you may have some, but as a community, there's probably, it's not many years where we would have seen and experienced and heard so many really challenging things, so many things that hurt us, that frighten us, that anger us, that confuse us. And we're called to walk with God in through all of that and to express peace and joy. And when I look around the world, I would love for us as just a little body to recognize, I am so grateful I have a Savior, but I really need a King. The world needs peace and joy, but it's not going to get it without a King. They want the peace and joy. They don't want the King. They're not going to get the peace and joy unless we submit to that King. I love the ministry of Jesus as Savior, as husband, as friend. I love the fact that he empathizes with my weakness, that he cares for me, he comforts me. I'm really grateful he has all authority. And this is what I'd love for us to be celebrating as we walk through this week, even this season. There is a King. He was born. It's all, the story is unfolding, and we have this incredible opportunity to remember, to call to mind. He has all authority. To not see him as a baby. He has all authority, to refresh ourselves in that. He is not going to stop until it is finished. I don't know. Maybe this is an indication of my theology. I think somehow human beings have some choice in some of these things. And if we behave different, maybe there'd be more progress. And God's going to, he's not going to stop. But he'll keep coming. I don't know what would have happened if the Jews would have accepted him as their Messiah King when he tried to introduce himself and call them to repentance and to believe in him and step into his kingdom. I don't know. I want to make sure that I'm walking in obedience now, and I want to call the people that I love and care about in the age I live in. I want us all to walk in obedience now, because he's not going to stop till it's finished, and I want to stop. I want to stop and go, let somebody else do it. But my King isn't stopping. He is resolved to work hard while it is light, that his kingdom would come. And he's near us. I love that he's near us. I love that he gave himself Emmanuel. And I love that he's leading us into victory, even though a lot of times it does not feel like victory. But he has promised it is always going to end in victory. I love that. He comforts our sadness. Someday he'll wipe them away. Right now he just cries with us. And I love that we serve a King who can create or allow the creation of viruses and vaccines and cures, and none of that causes him to even strain. He doesn't even have to try hard to do any of that. He could do it in his sleep. I'm not sure he sleeps, but he could. It's just a non-issue for me. I love we are joined to that. And whatever's going on, it gives me that context. He's king. There is no authority taking anything away from him. So if it's happening, he has a good purpose for it. And his end game is the renewal of all things. It is not the establishment of a theocracy in the United States. It is the renewal and the reconciliation and the restoration of all things. And he invites you, bride, step with me. Step into this with me. Walk with me. We will have an amazing journey. And when I look around what this world needs, it does not need better politics or better medicine or more interracial love. Obviously, those would be all really good things. But it needs a king. And I need a much bigger king. Because it's just all too overwhelming. The hatred and the starvation and the poverty and this world is broken. It needs a king. And we have an opportunity to step into it and to live like his kingdom matters. And this Christmas, to recognize that we step into that story in powerful ways, I need to see him bigger. I need to see him more committed to my joy. I need to see and cooperate with his commitment to reconciliation, redemption, restoration. And on that day, we will see it all. And we see it in Revelation 21. And right now, he's near to us. He's longing. While he's doing all that, it just blows my mind how big and strong and powerful and loving and kind and unbelievably powerful God is. That he can be fully present all places, all times, doing everything that concerns him. And right now what concerns him, at least in part, is being near to you and finding a home in your heart. Longing to dine with us, longing to live that out, longing to convince our soul, our heart of hearts, of his goodness, of his nearness, of his power, of his dances of delight over us. He wants to speak all that into us. We have to slow down and go, oh yeah, that's the king I serve. That's the king I serve. And I really want him to come. I really want him to come. I don't want this broken world to keep going forever. I want him to come and make it all right. And we get to help that. We get to participate in that. It's easy for us to look out and see the global battle for renewal and all the things that need fixed and be so resistant to just allowing Jesus to bring that renewal into our inner world. Just pray as we see him as king that we would entrust our lives, our fortunes, our reputations to his ability to wage that war and bring restoration inside us. Your heart is crying for the kingdom. Everybody's heart on the entire planet wants what Jesus offers. They just don't want him. They just don't want him. Can we spend some time this week as we gather longing for the king of the kingdom to be king of us, to be king of that inner world, and to open our hearts to his renewal, to his restoration? We've already been reconciled. We've already been reconciled to him, but he still wants to renew and restore our lives. And let it begin with us. Let it begin with our families, with our family of faith. Devote ourselves to that this week and this year. So that'd be my prayer for you guys. Just spend some time reflecting. Somehow we have a nativity scene. Somehow I want a crown. I want to see the story that's unfolding when I remember the amazing reality that God became man. Something amazing is happening, and it's happening in us. And there's so much more that he wants to do by way of renewal. So pray with me. Lord Jesus, we are amazed that you are our king. I can't get my head around how big and strong and powerful, and that you see everything. You have a plan for everything. You're in the process of reconciling everything and renewing everything and restoring everything. And you've given us a bunch of just screwballs, weak, unbelieving, fearful humans the opportunity to step in and to help you bring the renewal of all things and wipe away every tear. That's what you've been doing. That's what you're going to continue doing until the job is done. And we bless you for it. We want to be found faithful to you as our King. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.